Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, stupid fool. Wait. Stupid fool.
Jordan, I think you're quite bright.
No.
At least 50th percentile.
Well, thanks. That's nice of you to say, but it's not true. I'm a stupid fool.
Why is that?
Who makes the same mistake over and over and over. I just won't learn.
What's the mistake that you made?
Thinking Orange Julius is good.
I'm pretty sure Orange Julius is good. If that's foolish, then I too am a fool.
Okay, so growing up, the Orange Julius, that was the mall treat.
Yeah.
You're going to the mall with mother to pick out new church pants.
Yeah.
And if you're good for mother,
yes,
she will take you by the Orange Julius stand.
Right.
You get the Julius. If you're a very good boy, they'll add a banana.
Oh.
Yeah.
Man, that doesn't sound like it makes it better to me.
It did.
Okay.
It did. And you know, it's a core beautiful memory for me. You know, like it's the end of Ratatouille, a movie I don't really remember.
Yeah.
But the one thing from that movie is when the guy eats the ratatouille, he goes back. I'm searching for that.
This ratatouille is so good.
I'm searching for that moment to be transported back.
He eats the ratatouille. He remembers all the Madeleines he ate in the past.
Right. Yes. And then I just want to have that mouthful of Julius and be transported back to the Laguna Hills Mall where I was good for mother. Got me the Julius and gave me $2 to run to Tilt to play Golden Axe.
Have you ever made a Julius at home?
Oh, yeah. There's like a packet you can buy, or there was a packet of Julius powder that you would add.
I didn't make it with the powder.
Okay.
I made it with... So did you... Okay. We'll cover that in a moment.
Sure.
Did you go have Julius and you were disappointed?
So, not a lot of Julius's in the world, right? Like it's a chain on the decline as far as I... Yeah. But... And there's certainly not a lot of them in L.A.
Et tu, Orange Brute?
Yes. and then, so, but sometimes I'm somewhere that has a Julius, right?
Uh-huh.
And it always, I'm like, I should do it.
Right.
Maybe the last one I had, maybe I just went to a bad location.
Right.
Maybe there was an incompetent teen behind the blender.
Yeah.
So I was in, I was in Santa Clarita today.
It would be wild if you went to the Orange Julius and there was just a 37-year-old who was really good at it.
Right, exactly. This guy is, you know, he's little Davy Julius. His dad
I'm a master.
Was Reginald Julius.
It's about mastership.
Anyway, I was in Santa Clarita today getting an ultrasound. On a lump on my arm.
Oh, congratulations.
They think it's nothing.
Okay.
They think it's nothing.
And you're like, I'm pretty sure it's a lump.
Yeah. They're like, no. You want to feel it's on the left armpit. Squeezing around for a lump. it's my left armpit. They think it's nothing, but I was getting an ultrasound just to be safe. I love safety, you know, precautions, that sort
sure.
of thing.
Hey, we both love safety. We met at UC Santa Cruz.
Yes. the safest safety school.
Yep.
And they did that thing where they rub the gel on and then
they show you
the inside.
And then they glorp it around.
I wanted to say, like, oh, I could see the heartbeat, but I'm just like, it's just me and this medical technician in the room.
Technician's
I should just
not gonna
be
like
fucking
it.
Quiet and let her do her job and we should make this short. Anyway, I thought of saying, oh, I can see the heartbeat.
But you didn't like the Julius?
So anyway, there's a Julius in Santa Clarita right by the freeway. I'm like, I'm going to do it. And it was bad. And I have a film in my mouth that will not go away.
Oh, I'm really sorry
I have
hear
a
that.
Mouth film.
That's the egg whites.
Yeah, probably. Or anyway, so I'm a fool. But you know what? I'll fucking do it again. The next time I'm in Ventura or the next time I'm in Pacoima, I'll see it by the off ramp and I'll go, this time it'll be good.
Did you at least get plowed by one of those hot dog on a stick women?
Yeah, but she wasn't into it.
She just sort of half-assed
it. Yeah.
Oh, man. That's $20 wasted. That's what it costs.
I'm always wasting $20.
Okay, we have an important thing to discuss.
Yes.
Jordan, we have important news to discuss, but I want to introduce our guest on the program. Our guest on the program is a beloved favorite here on Jordan, Jesse, Go. He's a legend in the field of stand-up comedy. Hey, why not? Legend. That seems right, right? Legend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Legend. You know him from television's The Peacemaker, starring John Cena
yes.
as the Peacemaker, and Tim Meadows as another guy on The Peacemaker, and of course our guest, Steve Agee. Hi, Steve.
Hey. Fucking Orange Julius does suck. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it does.
It tastes like children's chewable aspirin. That
yeah.
orange chewable aspirin.
No, it's good. I like it. I like that it tastes weird and bad.
When you're in a weird, far-flung suburb, do you stop and get a Julius?
I got one in Glendale not that long ago.
Yeah, that's a good place to get a Julius.
Yeah. I was pursuing the greatest fruits of the Glendale tree, which are this one sort of miscellaneous video arcade that's in a mall.
Okay.
And the Orange Julius nearby.
Wow.
Mere steps away. My children wanted to go to a video arcade. There's not that many. So we went to a mall in Glendale, and then right next door there was an Orange Julius. I got myself a Julius. It tastes weird and bad. It does taste a little bit like medicine, yeah. but I like
You're
it.
You're into it.
I like it. I like...
Eggs involved?
Eggs are involved.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, that's it gives it a whipped.
That's right.
It makes it whip.
Whipped.
That's where the... Do you have a mall treat you prefer, Steve?
I mean, the cinnamon roll... Cinnabon.
Yeah.
Cinnabon. Yeah, that is a good treat. Wait, can I share this news with you?
Oh, sure.
It's dinosaur news.
Okay, great.
I just know, Jordan, you love dinosaurs.
I do. I love them.
Stephen Ray Morris loves dinosaurs. Jordan Cowling, how do you feel about dinos?
I love them. Yeah.
New producer yeah. Jordan Cowling.
Jordan loves them. New producer Jordan
Steve,
Cowling
how do you feel about
them?
Love.
Yeah.
Big dinosaur fan.
Yeah. Okay. This guy's a huge dinosaur guy. Did you guys hear about this dinosaur kidnapping that went down in Los Angeles?
Tell us more.
No.
Okay, so you know the gas station Sinclair?
Yeah.
And their logo is a green dino. It's a brontosaurus, I would say, probably. Yeah. All right, who knows? Maybe it's a diplodocus. Who am I to say?
Yeah.
Who am I to say?
Only Sinclair knows.
Only Sinclair himself knows. Anyway, a couple weeks ago, this guy... They have a fiberglass dinosaur there at the Sinclair station
Jesse
here in Los Angeles.
Jesse's showing us a guy on his phone. This
looks
like
me from behind with a hoodie on.
Yeah, 100%. He just pulls out a fucking, like a tarp, a bed sheet, basically, throws it over the dinosaur. Then this truck drives up, and he hunks the dinosaur into the back of the truck.
This is a two-guy operation at least.
Yeah, this dinosaur napping has a getaway driver.
Oh my God.
This guy doesn't pull his truck up and then get out and put it in. The truck is like ready to go. It like rolls in and gets prepared and then they just fucking leave. This is what my close personal friend Jamie Lee Curtis had to say about it.
Okay.
By the way, she's having a moment. I don't know if you guys knew that.
She has been for
she's
like
always
two
having
years
a moment,
now.
Jesse. Come
what
on.
A legend.
When's she not having a moment?
I have a great story about her.
She posted this video. We're talking about dinos now, so save it, Steve.
Yep.
She posted this video on her Instagram. She wrote, "Really? Hey, you with your fancy truck. Really? You need to steal the dinosaur from in front of the gas station? Really? Not cool, dude. Not cool."
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm on her side as well.
What's your Jamie Lee Curtis story?
Wait, no, there's
no,
more.
No, no, we
okay.
still,
oh, yeah, sorry,
look
sorry.
At this guy.
And then
he's
we
got
have to
knuckle,
talk about the
knuckle
t-shirt.
Tattoos.
Okay,
talk
we can come back and come back to it, but yeah, I just, you know. Okay. All right.
Don't fuck with someone with knuckle
I'm
tattoos.
I'm sorry, yeah. He had a plan. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Continue.
So this dinosaur got stolen.
Uh-huh.
This was the talk of the town. I don't know how you guys missed it. This, as far as I'm concerned, this is the talk of the town. Maybe
oh,
you
I
guys.
Oh, I never go out on the town.
Okay, maybe you guys missed a few nights of local television news accidentally.
Sure.
That's why you don't know about the Strawberry Festival.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But there was some good news.
Beloved fiberglass dinosaur stolen more than a week ago from a Sinclair gas station in Brentwood is now back home. You see it right here. Security camera video captured a man dino-napping Claire the dinosaur and trucking her away. The station's owners left this message to the thief. Bring the dinosaur back at night, no questions asked, and that's exactly what happened.
First he came in the nighttime and took it, then he came back in the nighttime and brought it back.
Exactly. And then he put the note on there saying, "I'm sorry for taking your dinosaur. Please don't press charges."
Do you plan on pressing charges?
I'm not going to press charges. I'm just glad that the guy came to his senses and brought Claire the dinosaur back home.
Yeah, happy ending of sorts. So here he is unveiling it. Claire was returned under a blanket as asked, so no one knew if she came back damaged. Once unwrapped, it was clear she did take a few bumps on her wild adventure, but the owners are just glad she's home safe.
Yay!
There is another clip. He's like, I would appreciate it if the dinosaur was unfucked. I don't want to get...
Why is there a hole in the dinosaur?
Right.
The dinosaur
has someone made a hole where there was no hole before.
And it's heavily lubricated.
Sure. Yeah. Well, fiberglass, you know.
Anyway, I just feel like... I don't know how you guys feel. I'm sort of with John Krasinski, where I feel like we could use some good news.
Yes, yeah. Sure.
You know what I mean? And I feel like we could have it. It's good for us to have it delivered to us by celebrities. Yeah. So given that Steve was here and he's on The Peacemaker and our audience is probably waiting for good news, I thought I would share that good news with our audience, love with it. Steve here, so
love
they
it.
Know that celebrities love them,
appreciate
but are also
it.
Just like them, but better than them.
Mm-hmm.
This brings me to the real subject of our program this
okay.
week. And it's not some fucking story about a movie star everyone loves.
I'm on TV.
It's what he is. He's on television.
He's not a movie star.
Prestige television.
There you go.
High budget television.
Which I've heard is the new movies.
Yep. That's a good
yeah.
point.
Sure.
Got John Cena around. And you're
That's right.
palling around with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yep.
CGI Eagle.
Yep. Here's. Can you imagine how good The Wire would have been if it had a CGI?
Yeah. No yeah. one even knows what that show is, Jesse.
No.
People would know what that show was
people
if it had.
Know what it was.
Yeah.
CGI Eagle.
Okay. So,
Steve, I like it when you and the Eagle are friends in the show.
I do
really
too.
Beautiful.
It's really great.
It's
really
nothing cool. there, but I like to pretend.
What are you hugging?
Air. There's
Air.
Nothing there, dude.
They don't give you like
nope.
a tiny guy?
Nope.
In a green suit?
Nothing.
A tiny guy
not
covered
Sean
in ping
Gunn
pong balls.
In a bodysuit, nothing.
Like a 3-year-old covered in ping pong balls.
Andy Serkis isn't crouched there.
I wish.
Yeah, that'd be great.
They just cut off Andy Serkis's limbs. Okay.
Worth it. The guy's method.
We have discussed on
yes.
this program in the past what the question of these dinosaur t-shirts.
Yeah.
Do you remember these dinosaur t-shirts that I'm talking about, Jordan?
I do, yes. We've talked about them many times. Oh, but you're setting up a thing, so you want me to... Okay,
I want
sorry.
You to
I was like,
me.
Jesse, yes, okay. So, when we were kids, like late 80s,
yeah.
when you would go to a museum...
Maybe mid-80s even.
Mid-80s, yeah.
yeah.
I could see these things being around since the 70s, the design of these
Absolutely.
Things.
Absolutely.
The greatest gift in the museum gift shop, well... Astronaut ice cream.
Yes.
But the second
to astronaut ice cream
was
a bad tasting treat.
Yeah. Was
speaking of
a
beguiling bad tasting foods.
Prime do you what's your feeling on astronaut ice cream? You seem to have one.
I don't know. I didn't know astronaut ice cream was a thing. I can't even speak. Is it tang flavored?
It's yeah. like freeze dried like hunks of like Neapolitan usually.
Yeah, it's usually Neapolitan.
Not,
it's freeze dried.
Right up my alley.
Yeah. It's sort of it's like bad. A ice cream flavored chalk.
It's bad. That's why no one goes to space.
Yeah, but it comes.
That's why
it comes in a sealed metal plastic Mylar pouch.
Yes.
With yep. a picture of a dinosaur, of not a dinosaur,
of a spaceman,
of a spaceman on the outside doing a space walk.
Doing a space
I would
walk,
say.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Right. And that's why it's so appealing. And then you eat sure. it and you remember that it's bad.
Yeah.
So that's
okay.
That's the number one.
And you
one.
Can get it at museums?
Yes.
What the hell?
What are you? You're probably going to fucking art museums like a dork when you could be going to cool guy museums
yeah.
like the Air and Space Museum.
I've
like
been there. I don't remember astronaut ice cream.
Any museum with an airplane inside of the museum
yeah.
has astronaut ice cream.
Wow. But the greatest gift behind the ice cream is a primary colored shirt with a black dinosaur, and underneath the dinosaur in black writing is that dinosaur's name and nothing else.
It just says the name of the dinosaur.
I think I had a couple of these as a kid. They did not get like saved. And I think Jesse and I both really remember these and covet them. And yeah. they're impossible to search for.
They're so...
If you just
you can't,
type in red T-Rex,
yeah,
nothing comes up on the Google.
It's fucking hopeless.
Yeah.
So I
see this.
They're great. They're, yeah, they're beautiful. They're simple, beautiful. Indicative of a simpler time.
You guys should make some.
Okay. Well, thank you. Okay. See, Steve's doing a better job than I was setting up the fucking t-shirt thing.
Okay, so I got obsessed with these t-shirts.
Yeah.
I'm ready to admit that I got obsessed with these t-shirts. One of the big problems with these t-shirts is even if you find one, it's in a six-year-old size.
Wrong size,
sure.
Yeah.
You can't wear it. So I was fucking obsessing on the internet. I went all over everywhere on the internet. I finally did find one, and I bought it on Etsy, and I gave it to my child because it was much too small even for my relatively small wife. But then I had an idea.
Okay.
We have our own podcast, Jordan.
That's true.
Jordan and I, we should explain that. We should mention that to Steve.
You have two.
Well, three, technically.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
John Hodgman.
That guy hates dinosaurs.
PC guy. Okay.
Oh, I'm on The Daily Show. John Hodgman. I've done a lot of hilarious voices for animated characters. I'm good at looking for vintage clothes on the internet.
Sure.
I want to make that clear. I probably spent a total of roughly 6 to 8 hours obsessing over this on Google and various chat apps. And what you have to do ultimately is just type in red dinosaur t-shirt and then just fucking go through page after page of image results on Etsy, on eBay, on whatever.
Do you type in vintage when you do it?
Yeah. But it doesn't help because there's a lot of dinosaur t-shirts in the world.
You got to add thick, discreet, no drama.
Mother-in-law.
Discreet dinos in your area.
So
down to clown.
T-Rex stuck in washing machine.
In the end, I managed to procure several product images.
Okay.
I managed to find Brontosaurus, Tyrannosaurus Rex, the king of the terrible lizards, and I found Triceratops. Now, we have designed three Jordan Jesse Go t-shirts based on these original t-shirts. And I want to be clear, these t-shirts have no branding on them. They were designed by an artist. We have stolen his art.
Yeah.
Or her art. Or their art. Their art has been stolen directly by us. When I say based on, I mean we are exactly reproducing them.
Yes.
Plagiarized 1,000%. The only thing is we have changed the name of the dinosaur to, say, Jordan Jesse Go. So that's the name of our podcast. Right. See, that's our podcast.
Jordan, I would have done Full Short, but.
Well, too late. Where were you, man, in the fucking brainstorming phase?
Extinct. Yeah.
Extinct.
God, now it feels to me like whoever designed the dinosaur t-shirt fucking blew it 40 years ago.
Thank you.
Okay. So there's these three dinosaurs, right? Brontosaurus.
Go on.
Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yes.
And Triceratops. These are the top three dinosaurs. There's no question about that. Sorry, Stegosaurus. Fuck you. Okay?
Yeah.
Sorry, all flappers are out.
Flappers?
Not even technically dinosaurs.
Yeah, not even dinosaurs. Sorry, fucking sea creatures. Go back to pirate stories. So the three kings of the dinosaurs are Tyrannosaurus Rex, Brontosaurus, and Triceratops. But here's the catch. There can only be one
Highlander
monarch of the dinos.
We should make Highlander shirts.
There can only be one monarch of the dinos. Not, you can't have a tripartite commission.
Absolutely not.
Ruling the dinosaurs. Only one dinosaur can be the top dinosaur, which is why I'm going to ask Jordan Cowling. Jordan, what is your top dinosaur of those three dinosaurs? Tyrannosaurus Rex, Triceratops, Brontosaurus.
That's easy. It's T-Rex, baby.
Jordan says T-Rex. What do you say, Jordan Morris?
I'm with her.
Really?
Yeah. I like a carnivore.
For me, it's Triceratops all the way.
Okay, well, now it's getting spicy.
Steve?
You have a feeling?
Brontosaurus.
Brontosaurus!
Wow! We're at an impasse!
There's only one way to solve it, Jordan. This is how we're going to solve it.
Pistols at dawn.
We're gonna get a time machine
forever.
We're gonna go back and observe them and see which one is best.
We're gonna go back, fuck them. Yeah, which one feels best.
You gotta make a hole though.
Okay, here's how we're gonna do it. We made these three designs. Tyrannosaurus,
right?
Triceratops, Brontosaurus. Mm-hmm. These are exact replicas of the 1980s t-shirts, only they say Jordan Jesse Go on them. For a two-week period, starting the day that this podcast is released, all three t-shirts will be available in our store at maxfunstore.com. For 2 weeks, Jordan. But at the end of 2 weeks, Jordan Cowling, do you want to tell them what's going to happen to these t-shirts at the end of 2 weeks? I don't feel like I can break it to them.
We kill a brontosaurus?
Basically, if the brontosaurus loses.
You airdrop them on Africa.
Only the king of the dinosaurs will remain.
Yes, the other ones will go to dinosaur hell.
They'll be gone forever, crackling in the flames of dino hell.
So the audience can vote with their dollars.
Exactly,
by
going
buying
to MaxFunStore.com.
The t-shirt they want the most.
And if you think you got a dino that you want and need, you got to get it. I don't fucking know. I'm a Triceratops guy.
I don't know, man.
I think our audience is peaceful. They're peaceful herbivores. So I think they will want a peaceful herbivore.
Do you think that's why Steve picks Brontosaurus? He's a herbivore.
I am.
Always
well,
grazing.
I had my gallbladder removed. I can't eat red meat anymore, so.
Oh, wow.
Herbivore.
And you love the sweet herb, am I right? This guy loves
sweet
the
herb.
Sweet herb. Let the record reflect that Steve AG made hang loose signs.
Hang loose.
Yeah,
Shaka. Put the herb in herbivore? That's fun.
What do you think Stephen Ray Morris is, though? I would say, Jordan, with all due respect to you, the previous number one dino guy on Jordan Jesse Go, I would say Stephen Ray Morris may be more of a dino guy than you.
Yeah, I'd say that too.
Because Stephen Ray Morris, of course, hosts the podcast See Jurassic Right about Jurassic Park and Jurassic Park associated culture.
Yes.
sorry if that sounded contemptuous.
No.
It was more baffled than anything else.
No, that's actually about right.
Okay. Stephen.
Yes.
What's your top dino among those three dinos?
Bronto all the way, baby.
Wow. See, Bronto!
I love a long neck.
Yeah. We're all doing the Shaka.
Hang ten. Or however many toes those fuckers have.
Who fucking knows?
I guess
knows
I'm
those
the
fuckers.
Only. And there's two T Rexes and two Brontos and no.
Stegos?
No Triceratops.
Triceratops.
How many horns do your fucking dinosaurs have? I'll give you a hint. It's not three. Boom, boom, boom. Where's your crests, assholes?
They're the rhinos of the dinos.
Triceratops is ready to become king. He's already got a crown.
This is going to be spicy.
Fucking MaxFunStore.com.
I hope people don't get hurt.
We even like...
I hope no one perishes because of this.
We even fucking went and got the best, like... repro t-shirts for this shit.
Beautiful shirts.
We did everything.
Soft shirts.
We did it soup to nuts. The colors, the graphics, everything. MaxFunStore.com, but only for 2 weeks.
You got to get them.
Steven, when does this episode come out? October 16th?
15th? 16th?
October 16th. 16th,
yeah.
Soon.
October 16th. You have until Halloween Day. I'm going to give you 15 days.
Right. Stop working on your costume and start buying t-shirts.
Can I ask about sizes?
Sure.
What's your max size in the store?
Brontosaurus.
So
I think we got big sizes, I think.
5XL, baby.
Holy
5
shit. 5XL. Okay, legit.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't fuck around.
Legit, okay.
We don't fuck around for our herbivore friends.
That's right.
Anyway, let's hear this Jamie Lee
Curtis. Oh, yeah, story. Absolutely.
MaxFunStore.com is my point
MaxFunStore.com.
I don't know. Fucking Triceratops has horns.
I used to go whenever I would have back problems, which used to be a lot more, not so much now. I would go to a chiropractor in Beverly Hills that was recommended by Sarah Silverman to me and was recommended to her by Gary Shandling.
Two people with famously great backs.
Famously. So if they feel good,
yeah.
There's got to be something to this guy.
Aligned spines.
I went to him for years.
Did this guy only treat people who've changed the course of comedy?
No, no.
You're recommended to Gary Shandling by Carl Reiner, right. Recommended to Carl Reiner by Buster Keaton. Mm-hmm.
So many norms, as we call them.
Recommended to Buster Keaton by Pagliacci. Mm-hmm.
But I once threw out my back getting off the toilet. So bad.
It's so much harder than getting on.
So
that's
bad.
What people don't
know. Standing up, threw my back out, had to go to the Rochford Clinic.
Can I ask you a question?
Yep. I had wiped and flushed.
Okay.
It was all done.
Were you able to replace your pants?
Yes. Yes.
Did you have to?
I think
to, like...
I was wearing sweats at the time, so it was a pretty easy
okay.
pull.
Yeah, easy pull.
So I go, like, I call them. They're like, yeah, you can come in at noon. And I went in, and I was in the waiting room, and I had to lay on the couch. Like, I had to lay on the couch in the waiting room. And as I'm laying there, the door opens and the doctor walks out with Jamie Lee Curtis, who had just had an adjustment, I'm guessing. And she saw me and she goes, oh, my dear, what happened? And I go, I just go through just gritted teeth. I threw my back out taking a shit. Nothing. It got nothing.
Wow.
She just turned and walked out.
Did you see who it was?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, holy shit, that's Jamie Lee Curtis. She asked.
Okay.
When Jamie Lee Curtis was on Bullseye, mm-hmm. she found out that my daughter loves horror movies, and she got my address. She had me write down my address, and then, like, 3 days later, a giant box full of all her children's books. Yeah, all her children's books, but also, like, Halloween action figure.
Whoa.
And a T-shirt and a hat and a tote bag. All just showed up at our door. They're still my daughter's most treasured possessions.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Nice lady.
That's, yeah. Well, I mean, she's kind of one for one. She sent all the stuff to Grace. That was nice, but she didn't laugh at Steve's shit joke.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. The jury's still out.
Did the chiropractor laugh?
No, I don't think he was paying attention. But I met her years later when I had a podcast. And I went to Weird Al's house to do my podcast.
And she lives at Weird Al's house.
She's best friends with Al's wife, Suzanne.
Oh, that's fun.
And so I'm there. We're getting ready to do the podcast. Jamie Lee Curtis walks in. And Suzanne's like, Steve, this is Jamie Lee. And I just didn't have the heart to go, we've actually met.
Like, remember me? I just took a shit. Sounding like it's your catchphrase.
No, didn't have the heart.
Also, have you ever been to Weird Al's house to record a podcast?
No, I've never.
Steve has. I have. I've been to Weird Al's house to record a podcast.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, but you...
No, I've led a much less interesting, worse life than the two of you.
Okay. So, yeah. Well,
and you know what?
Bummer.
I'm okay with that.
That's kind of a bummer, though.
It's, yeah. It's...
No, if I were you, I would not be cool with that.
Lie awake, tossing and turning, thinking of a way to record a podcast with Weird Al.
Yeah.
No, I'll figure it out.
At you his know, house, specifically.
2026, I'm going to record a podcast.
Yes.
He's got a really lovely house.
I bet it's
say?
Great.
Really cool.
Really tasteful, full of actual art.
And he does have a giant closet full of Hawaiian shirts
and
Vans.
Is it weird at all? How weird is the house?
Actually,
it's not that weird.
Yeah,
not
pretty
weird.
Tasteful.
Huh. Yeah.
A lot of nice. Like juxtaposed magazine art on the walls, but like originals, not like copies of juxtaposed magazine. But
yeah.
Like lowbrow art. I remember, and a very nice dog, I also remember.
Okay, I got to get there. You guys want to take a little break, and I'll think of a way to
want
podcast
to?
With Weird Al?
Okay.
Do you not want to?
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Sure, let's do
you
it.
No, okay. If you want to, it's okay.
Okay.
I mean, I'll just, me and Steve, while we take the break, is it cool if me and Steve
we'll
just...
compare stories.
We just remember what it's like to be in
And I'll be
Weird
like,
Al's
why
house?
Do you have huge grins on your faces and giant erections?
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Every episode of Jordan, Jesse, Go brought to you by the members of Maximum Fun. If you're a member of Maximum Fun, we thank you. If you're not yet a member of Maximum Fun, why not become a member of Maximum Fun by going to MaximumFun.org/join? That's the money that lines our pockets so this show doesn't fall out of our pockets onto our socks and shoes.
Yes, that's a perfect analogy. You painted a beautiful picture, Jesse. And not only do you keep the shows going, mm-hmm. but you get to listen to our bonus episodes, including our further dive down the pit of agony that is the
amusing.
Run of
the
Alex
amusing
Inc.
pit of agony.
Yes.
It's amusing that we are at, it's good that you don't have to watch the show.
We watch Alex Inc. and describe it to you so you don't have to on our bonus show, podcast, movie podcast, and sometimes we talk about shows.
Yeah. These episodes maybe got a little racist.
The Alex Inc., to be fair, not the episodes of show.
No, our shows are anti-racist.
Yes. But yeah, we have a ton of fun watching Alex Inc. and other podcast-related media, and you can listen to it by going to MaximumFun.org/join.
We're also supported this week by our friends over there at Factor. Jordan,
yeah,
I was chowing down on Factor meals. I got one with steak and shrimp.
Ooh, Jesse.
Surf and turf, baby.
So here's what Factor does. They make special chef-prepared meals. Mm-hmm. They send them to your house.
Yeah.
You put it in the fridge. They sit there until you need a meal. You pop it in the microwave or the oven or the toaster oven. You got beautiful, delicious, satisfying food. It's quick. You got it. I did Factor breakfast this week, Jesse.
Oh.
I particularly liked the bacon, sausage, and white cheddar scrambled eggs with garlic, spinach, and roasted potatoes.
That sounds nice.
I'm a huge breakfast guy.
You're a fucking breakfast monster.
I'm a breakfast monster, and this satiated the beast within, my friend.
Wow.
Yes.
I mentioned I am a big lunch Factor guy.
Okay.
Because I'm often working from home, and I'm often in this weird time crunch where I have to run to the office to do a Bullseye interview. But I know that if I don't eat, I will lose steam 10 minutes into the interview. But I also don't want to, like, give up time preparing myself lunch. And so I end up eating frozen food or something those days.
Yeah.
And having those Factor meals in my fridge and having fucking fancy ones with a little filet mignons in them and shit.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, they have fancy Factors now.
Yes.
I ordered those. I'm getting a nice chimichurri.
Ooh.
I had a very nice chimichurri on a filet mignon.
Yeah, totally tasty. They are lifesavers when things get busy. And Jesse, did you hear for the first time you can try Asian-inspired meals with bold flavors influenced by China, Thailand, and more?
Ooh, I'm hoping for Suriname.
Eat smart at factormeals.com/JJGO50OFF and use code JJGO50OFF to get 50% off your first box plus free breakfast for 1 year. That's code JJGO50OFF at factormeals.com for 50% off your first box plus free breakfast for 1 year. Get delicious, ready-to-eat meals delivered with Factor. Offer only valid for new Factor customers with code and qualifying auto-renewing subscription purchase.
Big stuff happening in the world of Bullseye with Jesse Thorne.
Oh, yeah. Tell me more.
Okay, I will. First of all, if you're listening to this on the day it's released, tonight in Los Angeles at LAist in Pasadena, there is a live Bullseye with Jesse Thorne recording. Tickets start at free. I hope that I will see you there. You can go to MaximumFun.org/events. Then in the coming weeks, there is a recording in Santa Cruz,
mm-hmm.
with Adam Scott and Boots Riley and Glenn Washington and the Mermen and Scott Simpson. Then there is also recording in New York City with Tony Shalhoub, John Benjamin,
okay.
and others, Jordan.
Others?
Yes, that's right, others.
Wow.
Yes, fuck it, I said it, others.
Okay.
Josh Gondelman is gonna be a fucking extravaganza.
Amazing.
It's going to be an extravaganza, Jordan. So I hope that I will see you at those three shows to celebrate the 25th. And you know what, Jordan?
Hmm.
If you're out there and you can't watch those shows because you don't live close enough to New York, Los Angeles, or Santa Cruz, got good news for you. We just, the other day, did this Bullseye 25 for 25 thing where I interviewed 25 consecutive people, including Tony Hale and Bob Odenkirk and the Sklar brothers and Lisa Loeb and lots of friends of this show and lots of friends of ours from our college days and so on and so forth. You were there. Gene was there.
Yeah.
Dan Grayson was there. All these wonderful people. Brandon Bird was there. And that entire thing is now streaming on the Bullseye YouTube channel for free. So Why not put that on in your kitchen while you're making dinner and laugh at the pathetic display of me as I drive further and further into madness on my 23rd interview as Elvis Mitchell comes into the room?
It was a ton of fun to do. I had a blast. So many cool folks on this thing. And it's so nice to be celebrating Bullseye. It's such a treat. I hope folks make it out to some of these things and ingest some of this beautiful Bullseye celebratory content.
In no small part, a celebration of my friend Jordan Morris and our friend Gene O'Neill, who were the creators of the program with me, and just 25 years of good times and great oldies. So we'll see you in all those places, and we'll see you on the internet. Jordan, what's going on with you?
Oh, yeah, and I should mention some more live events that people in the Southern California area can attend.
Okay.
I am going to be
signing. First of all, Monster Truck Jam.
Sure, Monster Truck Jam. Get out there. I'll be in seat 7B.
It's going to be at the Toyota Center in Ontario, California.
Come say what's up. Yes, and I am going to be signing copies of Predator, Black, White, and Blood with our buddy Cody Ziegler at Things from Another World Comics. Saturday, October 24th, 4 to 6 p.m. We will both be wearing tank tops.
Where is that, Burbank?
That's in Burbank. It's at City Walk, baby.
Guessed it one.
Yeah. And then November 8th, I will be at the Burbank Book Festival at the Buena Vista Library branch. Don't go to the main branch.
Hold on. This thing we were doing with Zig?
Yeah.
You going to wear hot pants? Because Zig's always wearing hot pants.
I don't know. That might be more his thing. I don't know if I have. I can get hot pants by then. I'll try. We have tanks. Maybe hot pants.
Yeah.
November 8th, I'll be at the Burbank Book Festival, 10 to 11 a.m. at the Public Library, Buena Vista branch. Yes.
Where's that, Burbank?
That's in Burbank.
Yeah.
And then you and I will be at the Revenge of Comic Creators Block Party doing something later that day.
Yeah.
So
what day is that?
That is November 8th.
Okay, great.
And so we will both be there at Revenge of Comics and Pinball at a certain time, doing something.
Yep.
Stay tuned to this space and social media for more.
I mean, that's a fun day at Revenge of.
It's
no going to
be a blast. It was such a fun time last year. They get so many cool folks out at this thing. We hope to see you at all of those events.
And hey, Jordan.
Yeah.
Fucking MaxFunStore.com. We're crowning the king of the dinos.
Let's do it.
Get your shit together. MaxFunStore.com, because you only have until Halloween.
Please do.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan. It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Steve Agee, dino fanatic.
Man, you must be fucking, flipping out about this contest.
I am so stoked. I'll be there first day. I'm buying like all three.
I think, Steve, what you're going to want to do is purchase one of each color, one of each dino.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're a Bronto guy, buy a few extra Brontos. That way, they'll lead in the race. You know, you'll give Brontos the
genius,
the foot up, you know.
Genius, and I'll give them away as Christmas gifts.
And you give them away as Christmas gifts, or just hoard them. I mean, I know you got a big closet full of Vans and dinosaur t-shirts.
Yeah, but that's because I'm a Magnum PI fan.
Steve, how'd you decide on your giant water bottle? We were talking about giant water bottles the other day. I want to get your opinion.
I just went online and typed in best water bottles. And this was one of
it's
the better
good.
Ones. Yeah.
Jesse's not joining the modern world, and he's still drinking out of a tiny cup.
Yours is good because it fits in the car cup holder.
That's part of why I picked it. Yeah. It's the Simple Modern. I'm a fan. I'm not paid to say this, but Simple Modern, it's the best giant water bottle, in my opinion. Anyway, but.
You guys want to take a momentous occasion call?
Oh, that'd be nice.
Oh, yeah.
When something momentous happens to you, give us a call at 206-984-4FUN. Or just record a voice memo and send it to us at JJGo. Guys, you're distracting
me. We're drinking water.
We're just drinking water like normal modern people who are always drinking water.
I don't want
kidney
stones, do you, Jordan?
No, I've had one. It's not fun.
Same. Multiple.
Oh, yeah.
It's weird. I've never had one. Here I am drinking out of this mug.
Yep. Well, now Steve and I have a thing that we share. You and he have been to Weird Al's house, and me and Steve, shaka bra, have both passed the stone out of our pee hole, and it's real
weenus.
Painful.
Okay, anyway, record a voice memo and send it to jjgo@maximumfun.org.
Now, We'll wait.
Yeah.
Hi, Jordan. Hi, Jesse. Hi, guest. I'm going to guess 30 under 30 media luminary Griffin McElroy. My name is Sarah. I'm calling in with a momentous occasion. I just took my dog, whose name is Wallace, to the dog park. And it's kind of an overcast day, so there weren't a lot of other dogs there. In fact, there was only one other dog there, and his name was also Wallace. Love you guys. Love the show. Bye.
That's why we do it. Two dogs named Wallace. Wallace, come on.
We could hear the panting.
Yeah.
We all loved the panting.
For a second, I thought that someone was doing some woodworking.
I had the notion, yes, this is probably the caller's dog, but what if it's their partner? What if that is Wallace, you know?
What if they got a real heavy breather on their hands?
I mean, more power to them, you know, if they want to be a human dog play couple.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just wanted to know.
It's pretty momentous.
It sounded human.
Two Wallaces.
Two Wallaces.
Good.
I mean, how many Wallace dogs have you ever met in your entire life?
Zero.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Wallace and Gromit, Wallace is the human, right?
Yeah.
Gromit's the dog. So not even that.
Yeah.
So zero Wallaces.
That said, I'm impressed that you've met Wallace and Gromit.
I have. I was at their house for a podcast.
Did you go to Wensleydale to do it?
Yeah, sure. That penguin was there.
Oh, and he had that glove on his
and
head.
And he tried to kill us, but it was pretty funny. It was pretty funny the whole way through.
I went to space with them.
Oh man, one upped again. So, okay, Wallace.
Can I just say, Weird Al's wife's best friend is Jamie Lee Curtis. Weird Al's best friend is Gromit.
Oh, but they're a fun pair.
Yeah.
Is Jesse, as a guy with dogs,
you
probably hang out, you know, you go to dog parks, go to like dog owner functions.
I mean, Jordan, dog fairs.
Dog fairs.
Must love dogs.
Must love dogs. You go to repertory screenings of the 90s rom-com Must Love Dogs.
Yeah, starring John Cusack and Janine
Garofalo, I believe. Yeah.
And Uma.
Who could forget Uma?
Uma.
Is the most popular name for a dog still Luna?
Oh, that's a great question.
No.
It's
no.
not. What's replaced Luna?
Soul.
I'll tell you this.
I'm tired of moon dogs. It's only sun dogs now.
All dogs are husky dogs now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Every dog is a husky dog, which I love husky dogs. They're very beautiful.
Sure.
But and you should adopt every dog at the pound.
Right.
I want to be clear about that. But also don't get a husky dog. Because it doesn't want to be your pet. It wants to pull you around in a cart. I think the numbers are skewed a little bit because when you're at the dog park, all the husky dogs go to the dog park because their owners can't walk them because they want to pull their owners on a cart.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
But I do think that husky dogs are like the main type of dog in 2025. I think it has to do with Game of Thrones.
Oh, sure.
Our former producer, Matt, was a husky owner.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that
he was heavy?
Yeah, exactly.
He had to go to a special store to get his pants.
Yeah. He up to 5XL.
Yeah.
And he said that it's the number one breed of dog in shelters these days, even more than pits or chihuahuas or any of these other, and it's because of Game of Thrones.
And it's because people are giving the dogs away because George R.R. Martin won't finish the books?
Yes, exactly.
So if
you want to adopt, I'll say this, if you want to adopt a husky, holler at my Aunt Gail and Norsled in Oakland. They'll hook you up with a husky. She's always got like six at her apartment ready to go, locked and loaded. She drives down in her El Camino. My Aunt Gail's 81 years old, drives down in her El Camino.
Wow, that's cool.
Picks up dogs from like the Redlands shelter or whatever, throws them in the back of the El Camino, drives back to Oakland, spruces them up a little bit and loans them out.
Gives them a fresh coat of paint.
Exactly.
Wow. Paints the dogs.
Paints everything millennial gray.
Yeah.
My Aunt Gail.
And then you put a neon sign on the dog that says Girl Boss.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then you attract.
And then you're ready to go. You Airbnb it for a while, but eventually. Sure. So my Aunt Gail and her former partner, Deb, were both husky enthusiasts. Mm-hmm. And they would have these husky days in the park where they would hook all the huskies up to dog sleds on roller skate wheels.
Ooh, fun.
At the park in Oakland. And then it would just be, this, like, I saw pictures. I never got to go, but I saw pictures of it. Just as far as the eye can see, huskies and lesbians. Just lesbians on carts being pulled around by huskies. Oh, it was an expression of joy like none you've ever seen, Jordan.
Wow. I like that.
Stevie, a pet guy? I've not known you to have a pet.
I hate animals. No, I'm just allergic to so many animals.
Oh, no. What animals are you allergic to?
Dogs and cats, mostly.
Dogs and cats. Those are the two primary
horses.
Pets. Horses?
Tyrannosauruses. Really
heavily horses. Yeah.
How did you find out? How does one find out they're allergic to horses?
Going to friends' houses. Oh, horses?
Yeah.
I went to a summer camp one year where it was called Cowboy Camp, where you go and you get your own assigned horse for the week.
Cowboy Camp?
And you sleep in a covered wagon.
What?
And you ride horses all week.
The fuck?
I had so many fucking horrible, like, allergy issues.
Where was this camp?
Idlewild.
Idlewild, California?
It was Pine Springs Ranch. They had different, you know, you had rock climbing camp, hiking, backpacking camp, and then they had a cowboy camp with horses and sleeping in covered wagons.
Do you eat a ton of beans?
Yeah.
Beans around the fire.
Black coffee, a lot of chaw.
Right. And then you died of dysentery at the end, right?
Yes, that's I did.
You definitely did. Did you do roping?
No, just riding.
There was
and
no
like
lariats?
And, rodeo stuff where you go between the barrels and stuff like that.
Did you get thrown out of saloon doors?
Yeah. Sex with prostitutes.
Sex with prostitutes.
I was 10.
It's very authentic.
It's authentic.
Claim jumping.
Claim jump. Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Panning
all kinds
for
of
gold.
Old West stuff.
I feel like we did pan for gold.
I feel like that is, if you grow up in California, you get a gold rush unit at school, right?
Yeah.
Just as you and get a gold rush unit.
And eventually you pan for some gold.
Yeah. They take you somewhere.
Knott's Berry Farm.
Knott's Berry Farm.
You also sleep on a boat.
Yeah, let's see. Did we sleep? I don't think I had a sleep on a boat unit.
We slept on a boat, the Balclutha.
Ah, the beautiful, noble Balclutha.
Yeah, we learned boat songs. What do you do with a drunken sailor?
A shanty. You do.
Was this in San Francisco or was this up in Santa Cruz?
This is in San Francisco.
Yeah, I never had any kind of boat education.
Really?
Yeah, I've never been on one.
We had to learn knots, songs.
I have been on a boat.
Oh, okay. Believed
I won't go on one. I don't feel prepared.
Okay. What about missions?
We did do missions, yes.
Okay.
And
what do you remember about missions? I think I missed missions.
Yeah, let's see. So we were close to one, the San Juan mission, where the swallows return.
I mean, Jordan, I'm from the mission.
Sure.
Named after its mission. There was a mission two blocks from my house. I've never been to it.
Why are you mad at me?
No, I'm mad that I
were
missed
you in
out
the mission,
on missions.
In the mission district?
I was in the mission
Have
district
you know anything
two
about
blocks
the mission?
From the mission to Dolores until I was a little further once I was 11.
Yeah.
That's when my mom moved. But
I think we made one out of graham crackers.
Oh,
wow. I think we made a replica out of graham crackers.
You talking about not being on a boat, jokingly, reminded me, I went to a wedding on Catalina Island. Probably like 5 or 6 years ago, probably about 6 years ago. And I get seasick. I was not like looking forward to, it's an hour boat ride at most, very easy, usually calm. And was still dreading it, was considering a helicopter ride over. And I have a couple friends that did do the helicopter. This is so bonkers. So my friends show up in Long Beach at the helicopter, you know, pad. And,
Gary Shandling, George Carlin.
No, better. So the guy is like taking their luggage and he's taking it out to the helicopter. And the guy goes, "You know who your pilot is?" They're like,
"A CGI eagle."
What? No. Lorenzo Lamas.
Wow.
What?
Yeah.
What?
So Lorenzo Lamas.
Pilots helicopters.
90s hunk and star of syndicated action shows. Now flies tourists.
Renegade. Was it Renegade?
Renegade.
Also
yes.
In Greece? The
was
jock
he?
In Greece?
Oh, yeah. Was he maybe in Baywatch at a certain point?
Probably.
Baywatch Nights, maybe?
He was a hunk. You're right.
So now he flies tourists from Long Beach to Catalina?
Among other things.
Yeah,
but
I'm sure he does a lot. I mean, we all have to have a lot of hustles these days.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which I thought was really cool.
And I was sure you were going to say either John Travolta or Harrison Ford.
The two most famous
celebrities. But Lorenzo Lamas is about the same as them.
That's a great, yeah. I mean, three equals.
Three hunks.
He said the flight was great.
Yeah.
He like took him down like really low to the water, like to see dolphins and shit. And
what?
He's like, it was amazing. He said it was amazing.
And then you were disappointed because you took the boat.
And I was bummed.
And then you, no, guess who's piloting the boat? Chris O'Donnell. Yours is better. That's huge. 90s hunk Captain Crunch. They were always finding excuses for him to get shirtless. Remember?
All hunks on deck.
Oops, all muscles.
Steve, I still have questions about Cowboy Camp.
Yeah.
Was this something that you chose?
Yeah. I was like, that sounds awesome.
How old were you?
I was like 10 or 11.
Yeah, when you're 10, that sounds awesome.
By the way, you get to name your horse for the week, which has to be confusing for the horses.
These horses just get
because it's new campers every week.
Per summer.
Because my horse would foam at the mouth when you would put the bit in its mouth, I called my horse for a week FOMO. This is pre-fear of missing out.
Yeah.
This was straight FOAMO.
FOMO.
That's a good name.
FOMO.
Okay, so, but you didn't, your parents suggested it to you and you agreed to it? Or did you like find a pamphlet?
Early in the spring, you get the pamphlet saying, you know, because I went there for years.
Despite this allergy?
Well, yeah, I didn't do cowboy camp for years. Oh, okay. I just did that one summer. And the pamphlet came and I was like, cowboys? This was the first year, and I was like, yes. Immediately,
right.
No.
Because it was 1958.
You're doing shit like putting saddles on. Like, you're doing, like, not fun kid stuff. And it was freezing. It was it's up in the mountains. It was freezing. I just remember you'd wake up in the morning, and all on the top of the canvas, you know, covered wagon were flies that were frozen, that had gone to sleep and froze and would not start flying until like it warmed up and the sun hit
they come
the
back
canvas.
To life?
Yeah.
Wow.
Holy shit.
Smash That's them.
It's really beautiful. It's a really beautiful story.
Camp.
Did you go to sleepover camp, Jordan?
I did one summer of like a church-based summer camp and remember coming back terrified of hell because that's all they talked about.
Really?
Like at night before bed, you would just hear about what hell was going to be like.
Our camp was church based too.
Yeah,
and I remember
Christian cowboys.
Pine Springs Ranch was Seventh Day Adventist. I was terrified.
Wait, they were Seventh Day Adventists?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a very specific and intense form of Christianity.
I was terrified. I was like, oh my god, all my siblings are going to hell, and I'll probably go to hell. My friends are going to hell.
If I can't rope this buckaroo.
Oh my god. Yeah.
What if someone accidentally celebrates a birthday or something? Wait, that's
no,
Jehovah's
we can do that.
Witnesses.
That's Jehovah's. Yeah.
I went to Episcopalian camp.
Mm-hmm.
There was one day where you weren't required to go to church, but there was a church service. Maybe you were required to go to it, but you were allowed to go to it in your sleeping bag.
Like you brought the bag with you and laid it down on the pew?
No, no. Like you held it around you and jumped to the chapel.
Like
that
a potato
sounds
sack?
Fun.
Like
yeah.
Wow.
And then you curled up and had a Episcopalian church service.
Every time I hear Episcopalian, I think of Joe Piscopo.
The original Episcopalian.
Yeah. Joe Piscopo flew the helicopter over there.
Right.
Yeah.
The St. Dorothy's Rest. Episcopal camp.
Episcopo.
I mean, we sang like One Tin Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Christian song.
I don't know. I don't think I know it.
Zero hell talk
That's
at Episcopal
nice.
Camp.
That's good.
That's cool.
I mean, there was
That's
a
cool.
there was a one of the counselors ate scabs.
Okay, as like a trick, as like a hey, watch this.
People
kids.
Who broke the picket line.
Right, he would find factory workers who weren't part of a union, kill them and eat them to teach kids the importance of organized labor.
Wow, scabs.
What's wild is I went to that camp one year, and next year I went to Pinkerton camp.
Oh, sure, to bust.
we just busted
to bust heads.
Wow.
The scab eating guy, he was probably like 16, right?
Yeah, probably 16.
That's a good 16-year-old.
I got invited to be a counselor at that camp. I couldn't do it because it was like, it was when I was maybe 18 and my wife was going to college in New York. So like the summer was like the only time we had to make out. Mm-hmm. And so I skipped it. I was like, I don't want to do this. But it was an appealing possibility. I could have seen doing it. I liked the idea of being there, but also being in charge of everything that's happening.
I love summer camp. Is sleeping with celebrities, is that a Max Fun podcast? Yeah. So I did that like 2 weeks ago, and the topic I chose to talk about was the movie Meatballs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's how into summer camp I am.
Wow. Did you go to summer camp every single year?
Yeah.
But it was just cowboy-themed one year.
Until I was too old to, and then there was probably a year off, and then I had a summer job for 2 years doing construction, framing, and one of those years, our construction crew was hired to build a new lodge at the summer camp that I had gone to my whole life because the previous year it had burned down. So I spent a whole summer up there, like, building a lodge with these guys. And then 2 years later, I went back as a rock climbing instructor.
Wow.
At, like, 21 or 22. Yeah.
What other theme camps did you attend at this camp?
There were a lot that weren't specifically, like, themed. Like, there was just regular, hey, go swimming and canoeing and do
camp
cool,
camp,
cool
themed,
camp shit. Yeah.
Camp-themed camp.
There was one at my summer camp where we went to the state fair.
Okay, that's fun.
And everybody tried to win mirrors with the Guns N' Roses logo on them.
Classic fair prize. Classic fair prize.
GNR.
Did you think of becoming a counselor?
No, that's because that's all summer. And I was like, it's fun to go to camp for a week or two.
Did you?
You were too cool.
I was too cool.
Was summer camp, Shaka Bra, was camp the first, like, the first place you had, like, boy-girl interactions?
Oh, yeah, like, big-time crushes, holding hands and stuff like that.
Holding hands, okay.
Smooching?
No smooching. I was still a little
young.
It's
against the cowboy code, Jesse.
There was a
cowboy's get smooch.
No, they're just rapey.
our camp had a dance that definitely terrified me.
Sure.
I think I was probably 9 and 10 the years that I went to summer camp, I would guess. Going to the school dance, I mean the summer camp dance, much scary. The only thing scarier than that to me is a canoe.
Oh, yeah.
Terrified to get in a canoe.
Very unstable boats.
Yeah. Don't try and dance in one.
To get in a canoe as a 10-year-old.
We had a dance at my camp, and it was hell-themed.
Oh, wow. Yeah. There you go.
We had to push boulders.
I think my first week at camp, very first ever, I was probably like 9, I was, and this continued, I don't like having to go to the bathroom in public, like poop.
Sure.
And that first week of summer camp, I did not poop the entire week. I held it the entire week.
Wow.
9 years old was like, not happening.
Do you remember the poop when you came home?
I don't, but it had to have been brutal.
We had a case the other day on Judge John Hodgman, this couple who owned a summer camp. Mm-hmm. And they were so nice. One of them had gone to the summer camp as a child and then been the whole nine yards and bought the camp from the people that were in charge of the camp when he was a kid. And this was like on an island, like a no electricity island in a lake in Canada. And all of that sounded good and fun to me until I learned that the toilets were just holes next to each other with nothing in between. Yeah. And I am not on board for that.
No.
I am not okay with that.
No.
And like part of
it, you need the turds to leave.
There's like a window facing out toward the lake. So there's like a view to look at that while you go to the bathroom next to your friend with nothing in between the two of you. I couldn't bear the idea. Could not stand it. I hated it. Hated it.
How was the pooping at cowboy camp?
Same, horrible. But I was older, and I was
once you get that coffee,
I can use
the black coffee and the beans.
Can I say the best part? Looking back of this camp was every Saturday, throughout the summer they would do a thing called Walk Through the Bible, where the different cabins would pair up, and they would have one counselor that would walk them through this trail to different areas where then people would recreate a scene from the Bible.
Who are the people, the other campers?
No, like counselors and stuff. or people like when
counselors
I was
love to put on a show.
Oh my god,
this is like the
I was a rock climbing instructor. I had always wanted to be an actor still at that point. And so I was in charge with putting on the stoning of Stephen.
Uh-huh.
And so
I don't know that I've heard this one.
I think we could argue you've been in charge of the stoning of Stephen for the last 40 years.
Hey, for real, dude. So what I arranged was, and this would horrify children from what I heard afterwards, they would walk them up, and we would be kind of up on this hill, and Stephen would be standing there in front of us, and we were like, Stephen, for your sins and transgressions, we are going to stone. And so then we would throw rocks at this guy, missing him, of course. And then he would fall down behind, like...
So you had you didn't have foam.
No,
you had actual rocks, and you just were instructed to miss him.
Yeah, yeah. And so he would fall down behind this embankment where the kids couldn't see him fall down. And then I would walk over, and we would have a big pot of, like, spaghetti in marinara sauce. And I would lift like... I would mush it up and lift it up with my hands and go, Stephen is dead! And, like, horrify these children.
Was it supposed to be funny?
No.
Or was it supposed to horrify them?
I thought it was funny. I was doing that. I was like, in my head, I'm directing, and I was like, okay, so we have to, you know, have fake blood, obviously, because we're killing this guy.
Yeah.
And we'll just use, like, spaghetti as, like, brains and stuff. And I'll hold it up in front of these 9-year-olds and just shout, Stephen is dead. And then they would walk on to
I forget
John the Baptist.
I forget this Bible story. Why was Stephen stoned?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Probably coveting or something. His neighbor's wife. I don't know.
Because he found an old J.
Oh, yeah.
Between the seat cushions.
He stole some spaghetti.
Yeah.
Jordan, did they give you specifics about what was happening in hell?
Gosh, I can't. I don't think so. I don't think it was like disembowel. It was like a lot of vague, like, it'll be the worst.
Horrible.
It's torturous.
I feel like that is a really, like, a hard line
between...
types of Christianity is whether you're telling children hell will be the worst thing ever or whether you're giving specific events.
Because I think
that
stuff is
place.
Like not in the Bible, like getting disemboweled by pitchfork guy.
Yeah.
Like that, you know,
that's only a Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Right. Yeah.
And it's Francis.
So, yeah, I think it was vague. And I think that's probably what was part of what was so scary about it is because, like, it's the worst thing you can imagine.
Yeah.
And then you just lay in the cabin and
imagine. Also remember being told that when God came back, the second coming, to take his followers to heaven, for some reason it wasn't just a boom, you're in heaven. It was like he comes down, gets you on a, I guess, basically a cloud, and you...
Probably a cloud.
Take a 3-day trip to heaven on this cloud where... You take turns watching the story of your life. Everyone gets to see it, has to see it, I guess.
But you have to watch other people's lives?
Everything.
Who knew that there was porno on the way to heaven?
And I remember being so like, oh, no. Like
homemade pornography.
My hormones were in like full blast, and I'm like, it's like everyone's going to watch me masturbate. Oh, my God. This is horrible. Yeah.
Just 3 days of masturbation.
3 days of, like, all this horrible shit.
Yeah. And then just a lot of, like, somebody watching TV.
My church had a garden.
That's nice.
My
That's
mom
cool.
would grow, like, radishes and cucumbers.
Episcopalians.
Yeah.
Episcopalians. Everyone was very nice.
We got another call in there?
Yeah. Steve, you've been on the show before, so you know that we're really creative and think of a lot of good ideas for segments. So this is an example of that. It's not just someone who called in to say something and then said it was a segment.
That's what
end.
It is.
Okay.
Hello, Jordan, Jesse, and guest. I'm hoping Stavros Yilikis. I'm calling with a reoccurring segment here, things that your father surprises you with. Me and my fiance were going to visit my father. It was her first time meeting him, and we were doing a traditional Islamic marriage, as we are going to get married in just a few more months now. And during this ceremony, my dad surprise reverted my fiance to Islam. And thankfully, she took it in stride, and everybody's happy. But definitely definitely something a father would do, I guess, right? Love you guys. Have a wonderful day.
I don't know. My father never converted anybody to Islam against their will.
Like on the day.
Yeah. Like breaking. You're a Muslim now.
Wow. That is that's a huge, huge move.
I'm going to say check in with your wife. I'm going to say check in with
check
her.
In.
Give her a little breathing room and then check in again and just let her know that your dad is not the final decider on this issue.
Yeah.
Sure. If she doesn't want to follow the religion, she doesn't have to.
Yeah. She can't.
But she can.
She can just be Episcopalian if she wants to. Sure. You get to wear a sleeping bag.
Like make it
church.
Official, right? You couldn't do that. That has to be done in the church, right?
The mosque?
The mosque, yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's something dads can do. I don't know enough about the faith. I'm not a theologian. I'm not a comparative religion scholar.
Sorry to everyone who's been tuning into this podcast for theological information.
For those of you out there who thought I was an imam this
yes,
whole time.
We have nothing to offer. We have upsetting stories about church-based summer camps.
Embarrassing ourselves in front of Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Et cetera.
So. Oof. Anyway.
I have a friend who's in the midst of converting religions right now for his wife.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, been going to Jewish classes.
So, but that's nice. He's allotting to do that. He's not getting, like, surprised by it.
I get the impression that, at least for him or in his synagogue, you have to go to a lot of classes and learn a lot of different stuff. Mm-hmm. But in the end, it doesn't matter that much whether you believe in the God of the Hebrew Bible.
True. Mm-hmm.
Like, I think at the end, they're just like, great, now you get to hang out more at the JCC.
That's nice.
That's the impression I get.
Everybody loves a nice place to hang.
Yeah.
I'd love to hang out at the JCC more.
It seems like we've found a little motif here in the, you know, second to last segment of the show, mm-hmm. religion and faith.
Yeah.
And that's really good. We did that on purpose and we're good.
Steve, it's a good show.
It's a good show. The show's good and we did this on purpose.
No, I like it.
Yeah.
Steve, you mentioned that you went on a curiosity-based trip to the Noah's Ark Museum.
Yeah, in Kentucky.
I'm sorry, I called it a museum. It's an experience, apparently.
I think it's called the Ark Experience.
Prince and named it.
they've like rebuilt
a church.
Yes.
They figured out the actual measurements. They converted them from cubits to whatever.
Yeah, it's really hard to find cubit tape measures these days.
Sure.
But they did.
Impossible. And they recreated the Ark, not of the covenant, but Noah's Ark. And
a lot of Indiana Jones fans showing up, kind of bummed, like, oh, well, bummer, okay.
I was in Dayton, Ohio, working on a movie, and the makeup girl who was a local hire, she was like, you know, like an hour and a half, 2 hours south of here, they have, and you know, they also have the Creation Museum. And I was like, I think I need to go see this.
The margaritas are awesome.
So it was her, myself, Seth Herzog, comedian Seth Herzog, and we went down there, and it was bonkers. First of all, it is huge. It is fucking huge. There's no way one man built that thing. It would have taken a lifetime.
Steve, one man and one guy upstairs.
It was a two-man job,
and one guy is the
big guy.
The thing that stood out to me, walking around, and you would walk around it and they would have like dioramas of like,
right.
Here's, you know, how they had food and da da da. Here's where the animals were. Here's where the dinosaurs were.
That's what I was most curious about.
They said dinosaurs were on the ark, and there was a whole thing where it's like, we already know what you're saying. There's no way a brontosaurus could fit on the ark. They took baby dinosaurs.
Oh, babies.
So
right. Is that in the Bible? Did I just miss that in the Bible?
You did
it's
miss
about
it.
They
did
were
they have
babies.
A, did they have a skate park for Denver?
The last dinosaur.
Yeah.
It was insane. They had a diorama with little tiny dinosaurs.
What's incredible about it, in some ways it's incredible, in some ways it's not, right?
Yeah.
Like it's not so much that you would think literally of the Bible and say that the ark was a literal thing that was actually the certain number of cubits by the certain number of cubits. That part, It's that you're also a guy that has $200 million and is going to make one near Dayton.
It was pretty deep into Kentucky, but yeah.
How was the food?
There was like a little snack shop thing there, and
was it
was like zoo food. Not what the animals would eat, but if you went to the LA zoo, little
like ground monkeys,
pizzas and stuff like that, pizzas and burgers. Like it was crazy.
What was the crowd like? Was it jamming?
We had to go down on a weekend, so it was pretty crowded.
Hot goth right. chicks.
It was a lot of.
Like you Wallace
know,
is on the line here.
It's a lot of what you would see at Disneyland, you know.
Okay.
And then obviously stoner like college kids,
sure,
and stuff like that.
There for the pizza.
I could have sworn we were
great.
Stoned, but looking back on it, I don't think we were actually. But I was like, I have to see this.
Yeah. You guys want to?
That's my momentous occasion.
You guys want to blaze and go to the Tower of Babel after the break?
Where language was born.
Whoa, dude!
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
Ambassador Celeste Nash, welcome to the afterlife.
Oh, snap.
I have before me the record of all your worldly achievements. The voice of Pampoothie on Archer. I must say, we're all big fans of yours up here.
Great. Swing open those pearly gates, you big-winged son of a bitch.
Bip, bip, not so fast. It says here that you've never hosted your own podcast.
I did some other cool stuff, but no, I never got around to making a podcast.
You are hereby sentenced to relive your entire life. Only this time, host a damn podcast.
Okay. That's why we should do an Archer Rewatch podcast. We should call it Rephrasing. And we could even do it with MaximumFun.org.
Let's just do the podcast for normal reasons.
Okay, Grandma.
The wizard's answer, 8x8. The conclave's call to demonstrate their arcane gift, their single spell. They number 64. Until a conflagration. 63 and 62 they soon shall be, as one by one the wizards die, till one remains to reign on high.
Join us for Taz Royale, an Oops All Wizards Battle Royale season of the Adventure Zone, every other Thursday on MaximumFun.org. or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Steve Agee, Ark Dinosaur. Oh boy, that was rough.
It was great.
Yeah. But...
Everyone loved it.
Steve, what's going on in season two of Peacemaker? You're also, by the way, on the official Peacemaker podcast I just saw today.
Yeah, we recorded.
What is James Gunn doing hosting the podcast also?
Well, it was one
Leave
of the...
some show business for the rest
it's
of
us. It's a rewatch, you know, and a recap. Rewatch of season one and then a recap of season two. And we did all 16 episodes in 1 week because he's so busy. He's like, we got to knock this out in a week. So it was... It was a lot.
I have Booster Gold fun. Movies to conceive of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bring us in, James Gunn. We're ready to write Booster Gold.
Sure.
I'd like to see that.
At least give us a chance to pitch.
Pitch it, man.
Oh, you know what? I will. Thank you.
We're going to pitch Booster Gold.
Firestorm
the Nuclear Man.
Peacemaker, both seasons, a fantastic show.
HBO Max currently.
I loved it. One of some of the most fun you'll have watching TV.
It was fun.
You filmed this season, you mentioned to me outside, in Atlanta. I have to ask, did you return to the Murder Kroger?
I did drive by.
Okay.
Well, I think last time I was here, we established that they tore down the Murder Kroger.
Oh, okay.
And just built a new Kroger where it stood, which is so weird to me. Like,
that's kind of a fucking psycho move.
That is insane. Like,
that's right up there with murdering someone in a Kroger.
Just redecorate it, maybe. Repave the parking lot.
Sure. Paint over the blood.
People still call it Murder Kroger, by the way.
Yeah. You can tear it down all you want.
I mean, you gotta at least gonna like convert it to a Piggly Wiggly.
Sure.
Or a Wawa.
The A&P.
I don't know if they have Wawas in Atlanta.
Hard to say.
No.
guess we'll never know.
There's a hoagie store by my house now. I got to start eating hoagies.
Oh, yeah?
Hoagies.
Yeah. Hoagies.
What did you call them in the Bay Area?
Subs. Yeah.
We called them grinders.
Grinders.
In the Inland Empire.
Wait, that's cowboy talk, though.
Yeah.
I called them long and meaties. Yeah. It's kind of funny, all these different regions of
North County, they call them long and meaties.
Long and meaties.
Yeah, the only thing is, when you're going up to heaven, everybody gets to watch your long and meaties.
She gets to watch you eat sandwiches.
Gobbling long and meaties.
You watch this guy eat some long and meaties.
Wow, this is his whole life.
Why is he on this cloud with us?
Do you think, given that it's only a three-day trip, you said?
Sure.
Do you think that everything goes like super fast, like an old time movie? Like,
I feel like it would be.
I'm jacking off. Super
I feel
fast.
Like it would be the slowest trip, because you're like, we're fucking going to heaven. We did it. What is this 3-day cruise we're on and a fucking cloud watching people jerk off and go to confessional?
Yeah, and win awards at the Rotary Club.
Yeah, man, what the fuck? Like,
really, Frank? That made your top 12 hours? Mm.
That also made me think when they told us that not many people are probably going to go to heaven, because you can't fit in trillions of people
on one cloud.
It's very selective. Very selective.
You figured everybody was sharing the same 3 days?
Yeah, I figured it was everyone on one trip.
Yeah. I don't want to double back, guys. Yeah. Get in the fucking cloud.
Yeah. Is there a VIP in there?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Slightly nicer seats on the cloud. You get more leg room.
Meet and greet with Peter.
Yeah. Talk about long and meaty. I don't know. Whatever. The show's almost
Saint
over.
Peter?
Sure.
I don't know why I said it. It doesn't mean anything.
You're greeting St. Peter's fat hogs?
Sure. Yeah, I guess.
Are you saying it's a pearly necklace gate?
Yeah. Yes.
You're saying that one of the most revered figures in one of the world's most popular religions is just there for his fat cock to jizz all over you?
Oh, my God.
You know what? Yes. That is.
Well, I mean, I think we've confirmed that this is a good podcast.
Show's good.
Greatest podcast.
We're good.
I'd love to see Stavros, what's his name, fucking come up with that
shit.
Like my friend Jordan just did. I didn't have anything to do with it.
Thank you. Yeah, we can land a plane here at Jordan Jesse Go.
We can land a helicopter. Everyone's on alive. Catalina Island if we want to.
We can just like... That guy whose name I forget.
Steve Agee, where do they got this on? Streaming?
By the way, Lorenzo Lamas is piloting the cloud from what I understand.
He just yells back, "All right, I hope everybody likes jack-off footage." That's what life is composed of.
HBO Max.
HBO Max, a fun place to watch TV.
Eric Estrada just pilots the ferry to hell.
Little captain's hat rings a bell. Steve, you are great in Peacemaker. You're
Thanks, Jordan. So funny.
You have emotional stuff to do, and you fucking nail it.
Good game.
And all of your scenes are awesome. Big
Peacemaker
laughs.
Is genuinely a really fun show.
It is. It's totally great. And you are the funniest part of a show that has Tim Meadows on it. And that's
know,
like,
he is
very funny in this season.
Guy's an award winner, man.
But,
the guy's great.
You know, I'll always be an Economos, man.
Thanks, buddy.
No problem. And there's the CGI eagle, who apparently is not a guy.
No, that's they took Andy Serkis and cut off his arms and legs.
Yes, because he's method, right? Yeah. Yes, I remember.
Taped some wings to his shoulders.
I remember that part of our conversation.
He's not method, Jordan. It's because the only way you can fit him in the eagle suit with the ping pong balls. The arms take up too much space, and they wanted Serkis.
He's got his famous long arms.
So they gave him the old lop-a-roo.
Lop-a-roo. James Gunn can do that.
1, 2, 3, 4. He's like, I made Superman, baby.
Isn't that the rest? Restaurant by UCB.
Yeah.
Lop-a-roo. It is, yeah. A great place to hang out after your improv show.
Good broasted chicken.
Oh, the broasted chicken at Lop-a-roo. Oh, the broasted chicken.
Okay, well, it looks like Jordan Cowling's our producer now.
Yeah.
Welcome aboard,
Jordan. The transition is becoming complete. We are bidding goodbye to our beloved Stephen Ray Morris, who is a wonderful man. He will remain our friend forever.
Thank you,
and
Stephen.
We're excited about the new era with Jordan Cowling, who maybe we'll call JK?
Yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah, I vote for JK.
JK. It can be Jordan. Isn't Hayden this funny?
That's a terrible name.
JK. Yeah, that's JK. JK.
That's fun.
JK.
It can be Jordan, too. We can both be Jordan, or I'll change my name. I don't know. Yeah. Whatever.
Wallace?
Yeah, I'll be Wallace, just like most dogs. Get some mechanical pants. It'll be really funny.
Our theme music is Love You by The Free Design, courtesy of The Free Design and Light in the Attic Records. Steve Agee has been our guest on the program. He's that guy that was just... noticed there was a camera over his shoulder and was just decided to stare down the barrel.
I think I'm a little bit off. I don't know what the...
Here's to you, small rig.
Oh, it's 25 millimeter. I might actually be in the shot.
Yeah, I might be in the shot. That's a wide shot. Love You by The Free Design, courtesy of Free Design and Light in the Attic Records. Hey, Jordan.
Yeah.
You think our listeners in Santa Cruz and New York City are going to come out to the live Bullseye 25th anniversary show?
I certainly hope so. I hope our listeners in those places like to be entertained.
I mean, Santa Cruz, we got Adam Scott.
Yep.
Santa Cruz's own. We got Glenn
banana
Washington.
Banana Slug.
We got Glenn Washington.
She get
Maya
Rudolph.
Judgment.
She's a banana slug.
Is she?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Didn't graduate. One of the many that didn't graduate. All good UC Santa Cruz graduates did not graduate.
Right, yeah. But...
And then we got Boots Riley there.
Amazing.
We're gonna have the Mermen there in Santa Cruz.
Okay,
what? When is this?
This is November 1st, I believe, at the Kroonboy Jazz Center.
Fun time.
That's gonna be a show.
And then 2 weeks later in New York City at the Pit, we will have John Benjamin.
Hey,
we will have Josh Gondelman.
Mm-hmm.
Fun.
We will have other acts.
Ed Koch.
We're going to have Ed Koch.
Former Mayor Ed
there.
Koch.
He's going to be fighting it out with Zoran Mamdani. A fight to the death. Okay, anyway. MaximumFun.org/events. And you know what, Jordan?
Hmm.
You know, we just did this Bullseye 25 interviews in a row thing.
We did.
People can watch you and me talking on the Bullseye YouTube page, as well as me and Gene talking.
It was a blast. A lot of our old Santa Cruz buddies, a lot of giant celebs, tons of fun.
Some Bob Odenkirk stopped by.
Oh, yeah.
Telephonically. The movie shoot was going late.
But
he did it between. He calls. He's like, I'm so sorry. It was Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah.
The world's greatest actor and the creator of Mr. Show.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I'm so sorry. This shoot is now 4 hours late, but I don't want to miss it. Can you patch me through?
What a guy.
That's what he said.
That's
what he said.
I'd go ahead and watch this video if I was you.
All-timer.
Yeah. Okay. Listener.
We'll talk to you next time on Jordan Jesse Go.
I'll hug you and kiss you and love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Maximum Fun.
A worker-owned network.
Of artists-owned shows.
Supported.
Directly.
By you.